last Sunday when I stood before you, I told you that 18 years had passed between the Sunday before and the Sunday that I stood before you, according to the Word of God. Now we're turning to Daniel chapter 4 in our series on diamonds from Daniel. And would you believe that 32 years have passed since last time we met and looked at chapter 3? Between chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have 18 years passing. Between chapter 3 and chapter 4, we have 32 years passing. Now, this makes our key figure an older person. Naturally, 32 years puts on a lot of things in a person's mind because they've been identified with God and they've had experiences. They've become stronger in the faith and things like that. So here we have in chapter 4 of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar talking, and I'll just talk first person singular. This is what the scripture says, if I can remember it. And I'll be glad next Sunday when we can go to the sanctuary and I can open up and remember. But I do remember, verse 1 starts off saying, "I, King Nebuchadnezzar, make a decree. I send out this word to all nations and languages and kingdoms, that you will know that the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is the God of all gods. He is a great God, he is a true God, and he is a God who performs wonders and mighty works. And I'm going to send this, I'm sending this decree to all these people now so that you would know." Now, I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. And I dreamed something that troubled me. And I lay on my bed as I contemplated the vision that was in my head earlier. And it startled me, it astonished me, it bothered me. And so I sent for the soothsayers, the magicians, the astrologers, and those people who were in positions, who in time past have indeed been able to interpret my dreams. And I asked them what the interpretation was. They could not interpret the dream. So I sent to Daniel. Daniel was the chief of all the magicians. I sent to Daniel, and Daniel came in. I told him the dream, and this is what I said to Daniel. "I dreamed the other night in my bed. I dreamed that there was a tree that started growing in the middle of the kingdom. Now the tree grew and grew and grew and grew and grew and grew until it reached the very highest heaven. It was such a big tree. It was such a tree that people in all the world could see. The fruit was delicious. In fact, it was the food for all the animals. The birds came and resided in the boughs of the tree. Beautiful tree houses for the trees. It was just a neat place for all the trees, for all the birds to be. Underneath the branches, the cattle would come and find a place of safety and a place of shade. And then all of a sudden, the Holy One, the angels, came and made a decree. And the decree said, cut the tree down, cut off its branches, strip its leaves, destroy its fruit. This happened. The Holy One also said, I want you to take an iron bronze band and put around that tree trunk that was left after the tree had been felled. Then the bronze, in my mind, I saw a bronze band being placed all around that tree stump. The dew from heaven came and watered it. And then in the course of telling the dream, the interpretation came back from Daniel. And Daniel said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, this tree represents your kingdom. You have built this great kingdom. You have built the kingdom. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar, you yourself said that you were sitting prosperous in your palace when this occurred. And you were right there in what you had created, the work of your hands. King Nebuchadnezzar, this tree represents you and the kingdom. You're going to be cut down. And for a period of 7 years, you are going to have to live as animals live. Your fleshly heart's going to be changed into a beastly heart. And you're going to live just like an animal lives. Your hair is going to grow long like eagle's feathers. Your nails are going to grow long like bird's claws, because indeed you're going to need those claws to rubbish up for yourself something to eat. But something is going to happen in a period of time, like 7 years. What is going to happen is you're going to lift up your eyes toward heaven, you're going to acknowledge God, and then God's going to restore, change your heart, restore your insanity, which you're going to be insane for 7 years. Your kingdom will be restored, but only when you acknowledge that it is God who has done all this for you. Well, basically, that's the story that I can recall from Daniel chapter 4, but there are four verses that I think very important that we pick up on. The first verse is 7, the second verse is 17, and the third verse is 27, and the fourth verse is 37. Seven's here. 7 years representing a man who was insane. Now, we all do insane things, but I hope before we leave in a few moments, we're going to realize that maybe, just maybe, we need to evaluate our sanity with God, our identification with Him and the world. Now, verse 7 says that the king Nebuchadnezzar went to all the astrologers, the soothsayers, the magicians, and he asked them if they had an interpretation for the dream, and none of them could do this. And this just simply tells me that when we have a problem, if we go to the world's not going to have an answer that's worth much. Only the Word of God. We need to go to God, not the world. But when we come into a particular difficulty in our life, I, for one, often go to the world instead of going to the way, and that way being Jesus. The soothsayers, the astrologers, all those people could not help at all, and the world cannot help either. And I stand before you to say that when you leave the catacomb and you go out into the world, you'll be persecuted, that is, if you're doing anything at all for Jesus and are not a secret disciple. But just bear in mind, the world can't do anything to your soul. Just bear in mind that the way of the world is not the way of the cross. And so King Nebuchadnezzar realized that true, that those people who represent the way world could not do anything for him. Okay, the second verse is verse 17. And verse 17 says that it is God who sets up kingdoms, and it is God who puts people on kingdoms, and he uses the abasis of men, that is the lowest person, the person who is humble with a broken knee and a contrite heart before God, he sets those people up over the kingdom. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar did not have a humble spirit. He did not have a broken heart. As a matter of fact, he was quite an arrogant and quite proud person. In fact, the dream came to him when he was sitting in his castle, and later he retired in his palace, and while he was there, he was surveying his kingdom that he had built. He had built it. He was a very proud and arrogant person. And so that verse tells us that it is God who sets up the kingdom. He sets up the people on the kingdom. And it is God who can take anybody off the kingdom or who can destroy the kingdom. And we may feel today that we are pretty secure living in the USA, but God is not a respecter of the USA any more than he is the USSR or China or any other Latin American country. God is a respecter of the hands that uphold the flag, regardless of its color. God's colorblind, so to speak, when it comes to the flag. He just listens to the people whose hands uphold that flag. Now, in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, the prophecy was your kingdom is going to be destroyed. And for 7 years, you're going to be insane. You're going to be driven away from all the people with whom you've been working. And you're going to live like an animal. Well, that was the dream's interpretation. First of all, the scripture says that when Daniel was asked to interpret the scripture, he was silent for 1 hour. And can you imagine going to somebody's home and somebody asking you a question? What time is it? Think. 1 hour, the scripture says, Daniel's heart was troubled, his mind was troubled because of what he knew was going to happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 1 hour he did not speak. Then he gave the interpretation, which I've just shared with you. A whole year went by, according to God's word. 1 whole year, not 1 whole hour, but 1 whole year. And the king was walking out on his palace, and he was observing his kingdoms that he had built. And all of a sudden, the Holy One, the angel, came back to him and said, It's time now. And at that moment, he became insane, and he was driven out. This doesn't mean they drove him out, but it means that he was driven from them because he had no part of them. His son, no doubt, perhaps kept the kingdom intact so that no other person would become the ruler. But the king was sent out to live in the fields. The dew fell upon him. His hair grew very long like eagle's feathers, and his nails were long like bird's claws, the scripture says. And I'm sure he was reminded of that scripture that we just read to you, of what Nebuchadnezzar was told by Daniel. Indeed, God sets up the kingdom and the person on the kingdom. Now, verse 27 says, Nebuchadnezzar looked to the king and he said, King Nebuchadnezzar, what you want to do to prolong your days is simply this. You announce your sin by righteousness, which just means that if we confess our sins, we do righteousness. Nebuchadnezzar was told by Daniel, you are to renounce your sin by righteousness. Your iniquity by showing a sympathetic nature toward the oppressed. Bear in mind, he had thousands and thousands and thousands of slaves working to build Great Babylon. Just like so many were lost in the sands when the Great Pyramids were built. Well, the ruler had no thought for humanity at all. And so Nebuchadnezzar is told by God through Daniel, show kindness to the poor and to the oppressed. Then your days may be lengthened. Well, Nebuchadnezzar did not take heed to this. He did not repent of his sin by righteousness, and he indeed did not let up on what he was doing. And so in the course of 1 year, the destruction came to him. But Nebuchadnezzar was told, if you want to lengthen your days, you know, here we have a king who had built a great city, and what he was doing was preparing for his retirement. Now, there's nothing wrong with preparing for retirement. There's nothing wrong with seeking in your mind the day when you do not do what you now do. And no matter what you do, you look forward to the day when you don't have to do what you're doing in the way in which you're doing it. A contractor, or a lawyer, a minister, a farmer, or an electrician, whatever you are, there comes a time when you're going to retire. But King Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do it now by oppression. He had built a city, if you can understand this, he built a city that, whose walls were 14 miles long, 14 miles wide, again down and back. Now that is from where you're standing to the middle of the next city in Greenfield. That long, that square. And outside of this beautiful city of Babylon, which was the wonder of the world, there was a very deep and wide moat going all the way around it. And then there were walls, and if you can comprehend a wall that is 108 and one-half feet wide, it's very wide, 108 and a half feet wide, which is probably wider than most lots that your houses are built on. That's an awful wide lot. That was how wide the wall was. And the wall was 407 feet, give or take a little bit according to archaeologists, high. 400 feet tall. Now, we've got a great seclusion here. We have a city that's nestled inside of a moat, inside of this huge wall. But greater than that, there was a river, the Euphrates River, flowing through the city of Babylon. Now, you like the Salinas River, like it would be flowing through the city of Babylon. And there was a bridge that was 3,240 feet long, cro- crossing over the bridge. Now, I'm not sure how long the Salinas River Bridge is, but can anybody help me out? Is it 3,000 feet long? Okay, we're talking about a very long bridge with a palace on each end of the bridge. And if that's not enough to blow your mind that this king did, he dug a tunnel underneath the river. He dug a tunnel underneath the river. When I was in graduate school in New Orleans, it was a wonder of the town at the time to take people under the river, driving under the tunnel. Well, this is what King Nebuchadnezzar did. And he was on his porch surveying all of this when the Holy One came to him and made this judgment upon him. He went out, he lived like a beast. For 7 years he did that. And the scripture says that after 7 years, when he looked up to heaven, his sanity returned. For you and for me, when we look up to heaven, our sanity is going to return. Because when we go out in the world and get pushed by the world and become part of the world, we're getting insane. But if we look up to heaven, our sanity is going to return. And so that last scripture in verse 37 says this: King Nebuchadnezzar, when he had his sanity returned, he said, "I praise God, I extol God, I honor God. For his ways are true and his judgments are correct. And he will abase the one who has pride." What does it mean to us today? It simply means this: there is not one of us who does not have a degree of pride. Now, there's pride and there's pride. There is pride in the job well done, which is right on. But there is a pride in sinful nature, which is right off. And one of the great sins is that of pride. You take a peacock, beautiful, beautiful feathers, struts around in its pride, representing people like you and me who strut around in our pride, and yet Jesus is coming to abase us of this. And if we abase ourselves, he will lift us up. But have you ever, ever, ever looked at the feet of a peacock? Next time, look at the foot. The gross, ugly-looking feet. People don't see that. They see the feathers. Now, we're strutting around with feathers, and people don't see our heart. And when King Nebuchadnezzar was put out there in the wilderness, he had a stony heart. In fact, the scripture says God gave him the heart of a beast instead of a heart of a man. But when he looked to God, to us, when we look to Jesus, the beastly heart is going to be changed to a pliable, soft heart. And so today we walk around our town, our cities, we walk around our places of business, we walk around our homes with pride, like King Nebuchadnezzar walked on the porch that night and he surveyed all the things that he had made. And we take pride in our appearance, we take pride in what we know, we take pride in our accomplishments, we take pride in our status, we take pride in all the little things. But God is coming to change all of this if we let him. If we'll just let him. And somebody says, "I don't want to give up this or that." And yet, if you give it up, you'll become sane. For having it is insanity. You see, this is the bottom line. It's Jesus who says, "I have come to give you life. I have come to change your insanity to sanity." And we could go on and on by thinking of things that we do in the federal government, things we do in our own private government of our homes, which is insanity. And it will continue to be insanity until somebody somewhere like you right now decides to open up and give your beastly heart to Jesus. And then Jesus says, "I'll take the transaction, I'll make it perfect, I'll change you at the cross, and I'll give you a pliable, pliable, soft heart." For that's what he wants. He doesn't want our pride of what we have done. He once our broken and our contrite heart. Father, I'm thankful that you wanted my heart so much that you were willing to send Jesus on the cross to die of a broken heart, to show me the way, to give us the life. Father, we need to confess our sin this morning of pride and to stand as did King Nebuchadnezzar and say, I praise, I extol, and I honor the God of Daniel, for his ways are true and his judgment is correct, and he will abase the proud person. Jesus has come to show us the way. The Holy Spirit has come to convict us in that way. And we're thankful, Almighty God, that we can, if we want to, take down the wall, take off the chain, open ourselves up to what you have for our heart. For what you have for our heart is so much better than what the world has for our heart. And what you have given to us in our heart, the world can't take away. As we leave this place of pretending being in a catacomb and we go into the hostile world where there will be persecution, there will be persecution. Help us to know that the world can't take it away because the world didn't give it to us to begin with. In Jesus' name, amen.